power and strength to the Lord of Lords.
There is coming a day when the haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled. And on that great day, the Lord alone will be exalted. Isaiah 2, verse 11. The prophets of the Bible had a lofty view of God. Their God was the ruler of the world. Their God was the ruler of history. In the view of the Hebrew prophets, all people and all nations would eventually humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. Friend, you will experience the events of that great day. That's right. You will see those events even if you die and they place your body in a grave. But one of these days, you, along with every eye, shall see the Lord when He comes in glory.
You are listening to The Voice of Truth with Larry Murdock, brought to you by Churches of Christ from around the world.
To the prophets of ancient Israel, all history belonged to God. He created it. He is its Lord. And since God is the Lord of history, God's will must be done. When earthly events made it clear that God's will was not being done in the present time, Israel was told of a period when God's will would be done. Do you remember that the ancient Israelites were divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom? The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah. Assyria was one of the nations who defeated the northern kingdom. They defeated Israel, but they did not defeat Israel's God. In fact, Assyria was God's tool for punishing the sins of the northern kingdom. Later, the southern kingdom of Judah was also defeated at the hands of the king of Babylon, who was called God's servant in Jeremiah 27 and verse 6. Jeremiah the prophet predicted that all the nations shall serve him, that is, Nebuchadnezzar, and his son and his grandson, until the time of his own land comes. Jeremiah also predicted the fall of the kingdom of Babylon. He wrote, "Then many nations and great kings shall make him," that is Nebuchadnezzar, "and his descendants, their slave." Jeremiah 27, verse 7. Well, the prophet Isaiah also saw the end of the Babylonian idols. Isaiah pictured the gods or the idols of Babylon being carried on the backs of weary beasts into a land of captivity. The Lord told Isaiah to write this, "You survivors," that is, you children of Jacob, "listen to me, the Lord. Since the day you were born, I have carried you along. I will still be the same when you are old and gray, and I will take care of you. I created you. I will carry you and always keep you safe. Can anyone compare with me?" God says. "Is anyone my equal?" Some people hire a goldsmith and give silver and gold to be formed into an idol for them to worship. They carry the idol on their shoulders, then put it on a stand, but it cannot move. They call out to the idol when they are in trouble, but it doesn't answer, and it cannot help. Now keep this in mind, you sinful people. Don't ever forget it. I alone am God. There are no other gods. No one is like me. Isaiah 46, 3 through 9. Yes, God foretold the defeat of Babylon and pictured the captives carrying away their idols into a foreign land. You see, it was God who was the real ruler of nations. The Lord stirred up the Medes and the Persians in order to destroy the sin of the kingdom of Babylon. Isaiah 13, verse 17. The Lord also arranged the rescue of the people of Israel from their captivity in Babylon and in Persia. That's right. He engineered their restoration to their homeland. In fact, God's prophet Isaiah called the name of the Persian king who would release them. Isaiah wrote the man's name down 400 years before the man was born. That's right. Isaiah wrote, "The Lord said to Cyrus, his chosen one, I have taken hold of your hand, your right hand, to help you capture nations and remove kings from power. City gates will open for you. Not one will stay closed. As I lead you, I will level mountains and break the iron bars on bronze gates of cities. I will give you treasures hidden in dark and secret places. Then you will know that I, the Lord God of Israel, have called you by name. Cyrus, you don't even know me, but I have called you by name and highly honored you because of Israel, my chosen servant. Only I am the Lord. There are no other gods. I have made you strong, though you don't know me. Now everyone from east to west will learn that I am the Lord. No other gods are real. I create light and darkness, happiness and sorrow. I, the Lord, do all of this. Tell the heavens to send down justice like showers of rain. Prepare the earth for my saving power to sprout and to produce justice that I, the Lord, will create. Isaiah 45, verses 1 through 8. Friends, the end result of God's rulership in the world is justice. That's right. The Lord will bring justice to the nations. Those who he will punish will be justly punished. Those whom he will honor, they will be justly honored. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, learned the hard way that God Most High is the ruler of all the nations. Nebuchadnezzar had a disturbing dream, and he wanted to know the meaning of it, but he could not remember what he had dreamed. So he called his wise men to him and asked them to retell the dream and then give its interpretation. Well, the counselors explained that no one had ever requested such a request. No king had ever asked his counselors to tell him what he had dreamed. The counselors explained that they could not interpret the dream until the king told them what he had dreamed. But the king could not remember it. Well, finally, the young man from Israel, Daniel, described the dream and then explained the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, "Your Majesty, God Most High has sent you this message, and it means that you will be forced to live with the wild animals far away from humans. You will eat grass like a wild animal. You will live outdoors for 7 years until you learn that God Most High controls all earthly kingdoms and chooses their rulers. But the Lord has given orders not to disturb the stump and the roots. This is to show that you will be king once again after you learn that the God who rules from heaven is in control." And then Daniel gave the king some advice. "Your Majesty, please be willing to do what I say. Turn away from your sins. Start living right. Have mercy on those who are mistreated. Then all will go well with you for a long time." Daniel 4, 24 to 27. Friends, nothing has changed in the affairs of the world and in the affairs of nations. God uses strong men, both good and evil, to bring about his purposes for the world. The God of the Bible is the God of all history. Is he blessing your nation or is he disturbing your nation? Is there upheaval or is there peace? When history comes to an end, the Lord God of heaven will manifest his great power that he used in creating the universe. The Old Testament prophets and the New Testament prophets call this climactic entrance of God into the affairs of nations as the Day of the Lord. This phrase is found in 29 verses in the English King James Version Bible. Isaiah speaks of that day. "Every one of you, go hide among the rocks and in the ground, because the Lord is fearsome, marvelous, and glorious. When the Lord comes, everyone who is proud will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be honored. The Lord all-powerful has chosen a day when those who are proud and conceited will be put down. The tall and towering cedars of Lebanon will be destroyed. So will the oak trees of Bashan. All the high mountains and hills, every strong fortress, all the sea-going ships, and every beautiful boat. When that day comes, everyone who is proud will be brought down. Only the Lord will be honored. Idols will be gone for good." Isaiah 2, 10 through 18. There have been many days of the Lord to be predicted by God's prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Amos, Ezekiel. They have all predicted days when the Lord God of heaven, God Most High, would bring retribution for wickedness. One of Joel's prophecies is typical. "The Lord calls loudly to his army," Joel wrote. "His camp is very large. The army obeys his commands. His army is very powerful." The Lord's special day is a great and terrible day. No one can stop it. This is the Lord's message. Come back to me with all your heart. Cry and mourn, and don't eat anything. Show that you are sad for doing wrong. Tear your hearts, not your clothes. Come back to the Lord your God. He is kind and merciful. He does not become angry quickly. He has great love. Maybe he will change his mind about the bad punishment that he has planned. Joel 2:11-13. Friends, when that day arrives for the present world, will you be found on the Lord's side? Jesus told his followers, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." John 16:33. When the day of the Lord comes, it will be a day of great tribulation for those who serve the idols of the world. It will be a terrible day for those who lift themselves up and laugh in the face of God. It will be a dreadful day for those who shake their fists at God. It will be an eye-opening day for those who are ignorant of the Creator. In Ezekiel's time, he predicted this. "The day is near," he said. "The day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations." Ezekiel 30:3. But for those who have prepared, that day of the Lord will hold a different meaning. That day will also be a time when the humble shall be exalted with the Lord. Zephaniah encouraged the people about that day. "Seek the Lord," he said, "all you humble of the land who do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord." Zephaniah 2:3. If the nations will humbly seek God and his righteousness, then they might be saved in the day of the Lord's wrath if they will obey the Lord. Zephaniah assures us of this one thing: "Neither their gold nor their silver shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath." Zephaniah 1:18. Jesus' apostle Paul wrote about that day, "You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when people shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." 1 Thessalonians 5:2-6. Will you be ready when the Lord comes again? The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Romans 13:12. Are you ready, friend, for that day?
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Larry Murdock, brought to you by Churches of Christ from around the world. You may wish to view our website at www.voiceoftruth.us. That's www.voiceoftruth.us. May God bless you, and thank you for listening to The Voice of Truth.
Power and strength to the Lord of Lords.